Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me here live on Real Liberty Media. Oh, I didn't post my socials for crying out loud. What is the matter with me? I don't know. You know, lately I have been sucking at this intro business. It's okay. Nobody cares. Still going to have fun. And I think I'm going to have fun today. I'm going old school today. I just want to show you. I'll put it up on the camera for those of you who check out the stream. Old school notes today on paper. You know why? Because lately, man, I don't know what it is. I just love sitting outside. I don't care what the weather's doing. If it's cold, I bundle up. If it's nice, I strip down a bit. And we have had these days, like we've had 2 days now that were 60 degrees roughly, sunshine, clear sky. Last week we had 3 days, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then rain. And tonight we have rain coming in. And I just love sitting outside and I think, okay, I don't have a laptop to sit on. Well, I do, but I don't use it. So I just took my pad outside and I wrote my show notes. Sitting outside, enjoying the outdoors, which, you know, I got to tell you, more and more every day, I just think you just have to enjoy what you have where you're at, because the world has gone crazy, completely insane, and you can only kind of manage this little area that you have to yourself, whatever it is, and make the best of it and try and get to some place where you're going to be safe and secure and you're going to be able to feed yourself and get water. And, you know, let me see. I got a chat here. Yeah, exactly. Not watching every freaking thing on the, you know, internet or mainstream media. What a joke that is. Oh, my God. I got some stuff, man. Today's show is called Killing Unicorns, and I hope you're going to see why as I go through it. I don't really mean any harm to unicorns, of course, but, you know, mythologically, no, literally killing unicorns might be, you know, it might not be such a bad idea, really. Well, I want to remind you, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy shining light on the darkness, trying to expose the mainstream media for the freaking lying, cheating bastards they are. Hey, and if you could all please post any social media sites that you're on that we are live and we have a live chat room here. Come on in, join us, have a conversation. Although, I got to tell you, I'm sure the person who wrote something stupid in the chat room is not listening to the show. But come on, man. Seriously. Grow up. That's ridiculous. I'm not kidding. It's ridiculous. And I'm not going to read it. And I'm not going to say who it is. It's just freaking stupid. But it just doesn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore. Hey, if you guys think about it, Sundays, I was thinking about this today. Hal Anthony does a show at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. This guy is so full of information. And he is such a good thinker. He puts stuff together for you so you don't have to. I mean, he helps you kind of, you know, weave your way through some of the legal things that you can do to also protect yourself, not only by growing food or obtaining some access to food that will go on no matter what happens in the world, you know, barring some natural disaster that locally affects your food production, like, look at California, man. You talk about feast or famine. This is the craziest thing. So California, who's been in drought for years and years and years, constantly short on water, and they will be again probably before the year is out. They'll be in drought conditions because they don't, you know, they don't maintain their water. They don't store it anywhere. It just like falls on the ground either as rain or snow, and it melts and runs off into the ocean. They do very little to, you know, build reservoirs to keep some water back to, you know, to make sure everybody in the state has water. And here their strawberry farms are already you know, suffering because there's too much flipping water. Like by now, we'd be getting these sweet, juicy strawberries from California. And are we? No, because they are flooded out. You know, some of those strawberry crops have been completely destroyed. They're going to have to start over. Some of them are 2 weeks to a month behind. So not only are we going to have delayed production of strawberries coming out of California, I mean, if you have to buy them, you're going to be buying a lot of strawberries come from California. But also, you know, you're going to be paying more because of everything that has happened in the last couple of years. Plus, you know, on top of that, this freaking horrible weather that is just destroying crops in California like crazy. But anyway, back to Hal Anthony's show. Be sure and catch him every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, full of information. The guy honestly blows me away. I'm not kidding. And I don't know how many people have actually, you know, I know that he has a lot of listeners. He is on a lot of different platforms. And he, you know, a lot of people pay attention to Hal. He's been around a while, man. He's a smart guy. So tune into him. And, of course, you can catch me every Wednesday. I'm doing kind of a current event show. But really, man, I don't know what Wednesday is going to be. Wait, Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday's the current event show. And Saturday I do the Homestead show. And I have some more fun stuff. Man, this time of year is crazy because everything – it's time to restart the cycle, man. We just started spring on Monday, and, you know, everything's coming back to life. We got activities going on. We got plants going on. Life is coming at us, you know. It is Wednesday. Yes, it is. I want to share with you guys a little something. Man, and you've heard me the last couple of shows talk about this. I've been sick, some kind of weird illness. I don't know what. But today is the best I've felt in 2 weeks, by far. And I started off strong, man. This morning I was like, man, I really slept good. I feel good. No sinus infection, no cold, no anything. About 2 o'clock, I fell asleep, man, for 2 hours. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to do the show. I'm kind of groggy and, you know, had to pull myself together. And as you can tell, I have, but sort of, or at least I give the appearance that I have. Oh, the medicine ball, yum. It's good, excuse me. Sorry about that. Yeah, I know there's a mute button, but I didn't use it. So where was I? I was getting through the announcements. Oh, yeah, so every Wednesday and Saturday. Yeah, Wednesday and Saturday, you can catch me at 9 p.m. Eastern time. One day I do kind of a current events or commentary, whatever I'm feeling. And Saturdays I'm doing the Homestead show. But I'll mix it up a little bit because, you know, I'm here on the Homestead. That's what I do. And now that's what I do more than working, which is fantastic. I work 3 days a week. I get to be home at the Homestead 4 days a week. Loving it, by the way. Absolutely loving this new schedule. I was kind of thinking about moving the time of this show on Wednesdays so I could get it done a little earlier in the day. But maybe what I'll do is I'll just record it and put it up at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But as this daylight expands, man, you know, got to get a lot of stuff done. And in the summertime, it kind of makes more sense to do the show in the middle of the day, come in, cool off for an hour, you know, get the show done, and then get back out in the evening to get some more, you know, weeding or tilling or harvesting or whatever it is we're doing to get that done. So we'll see what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here doing this because that's one thing I was kind of getting at is when I, you know, the last 2 weeks have been crazy because I've just been sleeping, literally sleep every single day whether if I work, I come home, I do my cardio, I fall asleep. If I'm off, I, you know, kind of up for a couple hours, you know, do my cardio, fall asleep. I don't know what's going on. But just in case, I made an appointment with my primary care doc today to go get just a regular physical, you know, and see what he has to say. He's a good old guy. Seems to me like an old hippie, wears a kilt. He's got a long braided beard, long hair. He and I get along really good, kind of from the same era. I can't remember if he's a year older or younger than me, but, you know, we're right in there, pretty much the same age. And he's a really, really smart guy and not very intrusive at all, you know, as far as like prying into our lives and all that stuff or whatever, but very good doctor. So just want to go get a little checkup, make sure everything's going okay. And, you know, plus I got a couple things like right here on my temple. I have a thing. I think it's precancerous or cancerous, you know, squamous cell, sun damage. So go get that looked at. I think I have one on each side. Fucking hippies. Oh, I didn't say that. I read it out of the chat room. Sorry about that. That's funny, though. Reminds me of South Park. He's always saying that. Okay, so let's get to today's show, I think. Did I get through the stuff I should get through? Did the show stuff. Oh, my God, you guys. Fermenting vegetables. Oh, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. If you haven't done this, you need to check into it and do it. It is fantastic. I am loving it. Now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have enough jars. I don't have enough lids. I don't have enough, you know, everything. But that's not true. You just make a little bit at a time, you know, and you want to be able to have a place to store it. So you don't want to make so much that you don't store it and take good care of it and, you know, use it properly. So, but I'm not kidding. It's like one of my favorite things to do. I'll probably do it the rest of my life, no matter how long I live. So, all right. I need to do something. Just hang on a sec here. Just hang on one sec. Oh my goodness. Much better. You guys are awesome in the chat. I love you guys. Oh, and that's what I was getting at, is just having fun, right? Like, I have been watching some video gaming lately. I've been video gaming myself lately. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'd really like to spend an hour or two video gaming today, but I fell asleep. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll video game tonight. It was like, oh, no, I'm going to do the show, which is as much fun for me as video gaming. Really, I enjoy doing this just because I enjoy doing it. So let's get on with whatever it is I'm going to talk about. Oh yeah, my paper notes today. Oh my gosh, this is old school for sure. Oh, I hit the mic. Dang it. I need glasses for my paper notes a little bit. So I was thinking lately about all this stuff in life that is an absolute joke. You know, stuff that makes zero sense in like any form of reality. You know, that's why I called it killing unicorns. It's like, okay, I've seen a unicorn. They exist because unicorn is a very, you know, has a definition. It's a unicorn. It's a single horned whatever, beast, right? Unicorn. It has one corn. Anyway, I've seen one. I've seen something with one horn, you know, and okay, so it's a unicorn. Now, as far as like, you know, the fairy kind of unicorn with magical powers and rainbows and all that stuff, well, come on now. It's nice to think about, you know, it's fun to enjoy those kind of stories. But no, I mean, I don't really think that kind of unicorn exists. Bigfoot, on the other hand, I don't know, man. I believe in Bigfoot. I can't say I've ever seen one or seen a footprint of one or the scat of one or the hair of one. I don't know, man. It may exist. It may not. I don't know. I'm not going to completely destroy that idea because I think it's very possible that a great ape or ape-human hybrid thing is walking this planet. Hell, every single day. Today, as a matter of fact. I was checking out the local news because of the weather, you know, and our weather is changing. We're going from this beautiful blue sky, sunshiny day today to soaking rain tomorrow and possible snow showers Friday morning and Saturday morning. It might be a mix. The snow level is going to get down to 500 feet. We're at 1,000, so we'll probably be in it. And in the coast range, they said 5 to 8 inches. So there's a good chance we're going to see some snow, right? So I'm checking out the local news, kind of keeping up on what's going on, you know, preparing my week ahead. So whatever stuff I have to get done, I plan around the weather, sort of. And they had a story about a spider, a big, gigantic-ass spider that they found in Australia or New Zealand. I think it was Australia. It's a giant-ass spider that they hadn't recognized before as a separate species of spider. Now, if this big-ass spider could exist up until today without being discovered, without being described, without, you know, being noticed and scientifically cataloged, then why couldn't Bigfoot? And plus, there's stories of Bigfoot, you know, in ancient history, you know, and more recent history. You know, different cultures have stories of these hairy apes that live in the woods or in wherever. And, you know, some cause problems, some don't. It's just one of those things. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, Pacific Northwest is kind of well known for Bigfoot, Sasquatch, you know, whatever other names they like to go by. Has anybody ever, you know, actually captured one? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Somebody shot one? Probably. I don't know. But then we could move on to categories like fairies and leprechauns. You know, again, here we are at these magical beings, maybe mythical, magical beings who don't probably exist other than to be some kind of entertainment for us in one way or another. And I know I'll probably catch a lot of crap about the leprechauns. Maybe they do exist. I don't know. And I mean, hell, I've even seen stories and listened to people on Coast to Coast, you know, Coast to Coast AM with, you know, George Norrie and Ian Punnett and I forget the lady's name, but I love them all because they all talk about crazy stuff. And they actually have people on who've taken pictures of these little fairies and maybe leprechauns or, you know, tell stories at least of leprechauns. And I love that kind of entertainment too. I love to have something put in my head that I might, you know, as a scientist, kind of find difficult to believe factually exists, but luckily I still have an imagination and the ability to kind of think outside the box and live outside the box a little bit and say, hey, you know, there might be something to this, a little something to this, and that's good. If it gives you good feelings, you know, if it makes you feel good, if it's you know, if it generates some good feelings in you or stimulates your mind, you know, so you think about, you know, I mean, how about UFOs? Hell, I've seen UFOs that cannot be explained. I'm going to tell you one. Well, I'll tell you one I know I've talked about on this show before, but when I was a kid, I was terrified of UFOs because it was the late, you know, 50s and 60s when I was a child. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about UFOs and aliens and, you know, whatever. And my stepfather worked for the, well, he was in the U.S. Air Force, and then he became a contractor, a civilian contractor for the U.S. Air Force. And I, you know, I mean, number one, I wasn't his son, so he probably got kind of tired of me. I mean, I was his son, stepson. But I wasn't his blood, is what I'm saying. And so probably he was like, man, this kid is a pussy. I got to get him over being scared of UFOs. So what does he do? I'm not kidding about this. He put me in, so they used to have these trucks in the Air Force, and he called them the Blue Goose. He said, oh, I have the Blue Goose, which was these blue pickup trucks that they used, you know, when contracting. He would get to check out one of these blue Air Force trucks, government trucks. And he put me in the back seat on the floor, and he covered me up with blankets, and he took me on base. I can't remember because I was very young. I was probably 6 or 7, maybe. And he took me in, it was either Travis Air Force Base or McClellan Air Force Base. I really can't remember. Like I said, I was really young, can't remember. And he took me on this base, and he pulled into this hangar, and he said, okay, he said, I want you to look up over the seat. And so I peek up over the seat, and there's a freaking UFO in this hangar, like a literally dish-shaped UFO in this hangar. Was it something we made? I don't know. Was it something we took from the aliens? I don't know. But there it was, you know, in broad nighttime, because we had to sneak in at night. Well, sneak, you know, like he had permission. He had some kind of clearance because he worked on defense radar systems that gave him a higher clearance, and took me in to this hangar, and here's this freaking UFO. Like, it wasn't monstrous. It was like what you would think two humans would sit in to fly this UFO. Like, you know, it was that big. What? I don't know, 20 feet in diameter, something like that. And it was perfectly saucer-shaped, you know. And he goes, here's your UFO. So, you know, I don't want you to be afraid of him anymore. You know, you would hope that a dad would be like, yeah, UFOs don't exist, so I don't want you to be afraid of them anymore. You know that monster under your bed that we were singing about before the show? You know, put your lights on. Did you hear that? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's no monster under your bed. You know, hopefully. Yeah, there's creeps that'll... Okay, kids, time for you to tune out. Yeah, there's creeps and perverts that'll hide in your closet and hide under your bed and come in your window and stuff. So, yeah, you have to be careful of those kind of monsters. But as far as, like, mythical monsters just hanging out under your bed, waiting for you to turn the lights out and then going to terrify you, they don't exist. But be afraid of the human ones that do exist. Anyway, okay, that story, I don't care if you believe it or not. That's my reality. I'll tell you why that came up, is because I was looking out the window one night, and I saw something streaking through the sky, and it blew up, like blew to pieces. And we lived kind of near Sacramento, California, so really wouldn't be too unusual to have some kind of, especially in the late 50s and early 60s, you know, we're still war going on and, you know, training exercises and who knows what. But anyway, so I saw this thing blow up and I was terrified, and I went and told my parents, you know, there's a UFO blew up in the sky. Anyway, I think that's what sparked my stepfather to take me and show me that UFO. Okay, but that was when I was, you know, 7. Let's just say 7. Okay, when I was like 40, between 35 and 40, I was laying out in my backyard in a beautiful little town called New Berlin, Pennsylvania. And we're just laying out, us and the neighbors, and probably the neighbor's kid or kids were hanging out. Just, you know, we'd had a barbecue, the sun was setting, we all decided to just kick back and watch the sky, you know, stargaze a bit and watch satellites and airplanes and whatever. And I'm not kidding. In 2 seconds, I saw a light travel from the eastern horizon straight across the sky and disappear in the western horizon. 2 seconds, it covered the entire sky. We don't have anything that travels that fast. Now, if it was a supersonic jet that was 100 feet over the house, yeah, that could have happened. But it wasn't. It was like a satellite, but it literally took two. I counted in my brain as soon as I saw it, 1,000, 2,000, it was gone. And it was way up there. Now, what the hell was that? It was a UFO, because I don't know what it is. I'm not able to identify it. But it happened. And by the time I could point it out, you know, it just start kind of muffling some noise, and people saw it also shoot across the sky. Could it have been a meteorite? I don't know. Maybe. Do they travel that fast? I've seen meteorites. I've never seen one go from horizon to horizon and in 2 seconds, man. That was amazingly fast. Okay, it could have been. It could have been. But for now, I don't know. Something that we didn't make, I don't think. All right. What's the next fun thing we have to talk about? Yeah, black holes. How about black holes? Do they exist? Now, you know, as a scientist, I remember going through all this stuff, you know, going with physics and astrophysics and biology and chemistry and biochem, all these sciences, you know, to prepare your brain to be able to think and challenge the world around you and, you know, what is going on for real in the world around you. And black holes just never made sense to me. But you talk about a monster under your bed, man. If you think about it, you know, eventually black holes will just kind of suck up everything and there'll be nothing left, supposedly. If you believe, you know, in the whole Big Bang theory and, you know, I mean, that's where a lot of these theories come from, is the Big Bang theory. And Einstein, who was a genius by every definition, was a genius, and he figured out a lot of stuff. And other scientists, I think, also came along and kind of helped put this picture together of the universe. And they had to, you know, have some kind of like dark energy to explain something. And they have to have black holes to explain something. And they even have what they say is, you know, pictures from these telescopes to show black holes. I kind of find it hard to believe, because whenever you see these beautiful pictures and somebody explaining how they've caught a black hole, like this week I think I saw one where they said, hey, we caught a black hole that's swallowing up two galaxies. And I'm thinking, man, that's got to be a badass telescope to be able to, you know, see through millions and millions of stars. And then, you know, just think of that one black hole that's got two galaxies that's swallowing up. Somehow they've isolated that over hundreds or thousands or millions of light years so that they can say they have a picture of a black hole gobbling up two galaxies. You have to remember that a lot of the stuff that these telescopes create is data. They're not actually taking pictures, like not actual photographs. I mean, some of them do, but what they're really doing is creating a digital image, you know, with zeros and ones, and they're trying to compile what they see. And somebody else, excuse me, got a cough. You know, somebody else has written the program to tell this computer, okay, when you see this, you're going to print this. When you see this, you're going to print this. You know, when you detect this, you're going to print this. And so somebody else has already fed this information into the computer to make it do whatever it is it's going to do, which what I'm trying to get at is it's kind of pre-planned that it's going to find certain things, because based on our understanding up to this point, that's what we know. Like I said, they just found a giant spider, you know, in the last couple of years that's existed forever. And, you know, it was just sitting there in plain sight, but we didn't describe it yet. So now we have to describe this new spider. And same thing with these, you know, telescopes that actually, you know, are pulling in pixels, I guess, or maybe nanopixels or something like that, and putting a picture together of a black hole eating two galaxies. I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty terrifying, right? So let's say it's us here in the Milky Way, and there's a black hole just outside of one part of our galaxy, and it's sucking our galaxy in, and it's going to swallow up every bit of matter. You know, once it starts sucking it up, it just keeps sucking it in like a, you know, like a vacuum cleaner until everything is gone. So we would just end up in this black hole somewhere, I guess. I mean, it makes no more sense to me than the Big Bang, honestly. But, I mean, there you go. You have another one of those things. Does it exist or not? I don't know. But I can tell you something else. This is what I'm trying to get at eventually. Like mental hallucinations. Now, just think about this a minute. And this was kind of brought to my attention this week because of, you know, every community. I'm sure, like, in your community, you have some crazy person walking around, right? I mean, you know, sometimes I hope it's me, but I'm not as crazy as I could be. And, you know, we have definitely a few people in this little community. You know, Sheridan is like 5,000 people, I've said before. And really, if you don't count the 2,500 that are in the federal prison, it's really about 3,000 people. But yeah, we have a couple crazies. And I mean crazy, like flat-ass crazy people that are just walking around. This one woman walks around and she seems really nice. Like when you see her, you think, you know, this would be, hey, I'm going to say hi to her, good morning, or, you know, how's it going? Uh-uh, no, don't. Do not do it. Because she is flat, bat, crazy. No kidding. Like if you listen to her as she approaches, you'll hear her talking about murdering people and, she, you know, going in this house and I'm going to murder every single one. And she constantly is talking about that. That person isn't sane. They have a mental illness, right? They're not, that's not normal. So, you know, extend that to these people who have imaginary genders, imaginary identities. You know, people who think that they're a clown. They're not really a clown, but they think they're a clown. Or they think they're a, you know, they think they're a dinosaur. Or they think they're a vampire. That's not real to me. It's real to them because they have a mental illness. But when I look at them, I don't see the dinosaur. I don't see the gorilla or the clown or the, you know, alternate identity, gender, whatever. I see whatever I see. That's what I see. That's my reality. Just like the UFO in the hangar. That was my reality. Just like the UFO that shot across the sky. That's my reality. So I don't see your mental illness as reality. And don't expect me to. You can't expect sane people to express insanity for your comfort. So many things, man, the last couple weeks. I'll bet you do, Vinny. I know a few. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna divert for a minute here and tell you about this patient. Wait, maybe it might be in the notes. I might just hold off a minute. Oh, yeah, the perfect patient is coming right up. Oh, success without setbacks. This is another thing that just doesn't exist. You know, I bet you could not find one single person in the world who became a success without failures, without failing along the way. It's just not real. I mean, if you inherit something, you're not successful. You're a spoiled little rich kid. That's the bottom line. You didn't create success. You probably aren't good at anything other than inheriting, you know, rich parents' money. That's what you're good at. Congrats. Good job for being born into a rich family. But everybody else who's tried has probably tried more than once. And even if they succeeded on their first time, I can guarantee you there were setbacks along the way. That's just the way it goes. This is the funniest thing. Well, funny because it's local and it has to do with my family. And so, you know, I can relate to it. So last week, and within the last week, I hear Crystal and Shaq are talking to the kids, our grandkids, about playing sports, right? So these kids are, let's say, 6, 8, 10, and 13. That's how old they are. Roughly. And they ask them, hey, you guys want to play baseball? Or you want to play, you know, go to gymnastics? Or you want to do martial arts? Or you want to do, you know, whatever. But, you know, let's say this particular comment came from baseball. And one of the kids says, well, I'm not good at throwing. And I was thinking to myself, nobody's good at throwing. You have to learn to throw. It's not natural. Yeah, you have some of these athletes who are born with amazing talent to do anything. They could literally play any sport whatsoever. Just like you have these amazing musicians that are born with some kind of inherent interpretation of music and sound that, you know, coordinates with their fingers and their feet, and they can do it all, like play every instrument at 4 years old or 6 years old, or become, you know, music geniuses and go on to wow the world with their unbelievable skills. That's not normal. I mean, those things rarely exist, extremely rarely exist. You're not born a star baseball player for the most part, or basketball player, or football player, or soccer player, or curling player. I just threw that in so I wouldn't forget curling the next time I have a chance to talk about it. And I was just thinking to myself, it's funny that as a kid, you think you're not good at throwing, like it's supposed to be natural. It's not. I mean, maybe, you know, way back when we were still cavemanning it, you know, you probably had to have some skills at a pretty young age at throwing rocks to keep the saber-toothed tiger from tearing you a new, you know, tearing off some meat. You know, you want to fend off the woolly mammoth by throwing a stone at it, or, you know, the wildebeest, or what are those buffalo, Cape buffaloes? You know, probably there's still some kids at a young age that learn to defend themselves by throwing some rocks. But no, in this modern society where you're not really required to throw rocks to defend your life every single day, yeah, you're not good at throwing. Guess what? It's not a crime. If you want to play baseball, if you think it looks like it's going to be fun, you have to learn to play baseball. You have to learn to throw and catch. You have to learn who to throw to, like where's the play going next. You have to learn how to put the bat on the ball when you're in that batter's box. You have to learn how to read the pitcher, you know, and see what kind of pitch is coming. All that stuff is not innate. You know, even if we had to defend ourselves from wild animals by hitting them with a rock, that doesn't mean we're going to be good baseball players. thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, your kids. And I don't really remember that with our kids necessarily. You know, I think they knew that if they wanted to do something, they were going to have to practice it. So, I don't know, you know. It's kind of sad if you think. So, if you think about it, just think about this. So, if they think that they're not good at something, so they're not going to do it, well, they're never going to do anything. Because I don't know what they're good at right now. I mean, they have skills at different things, yeah. But if you're going to avoid doing something because you're not good at it, well, you're never going to do anything. Do something and learn how to do that something. Cough again. Yeah. See what's next on the list here. Oh, the perfect patient. Another unicorn that may or may not exist. Okay, I'm going to tell you kind of a funny story because this came up in my own life this last week. And I'm just going to, you know, HIPAA rules. I can't use any names or identify this patient specifically or whatever. But this young girl came in. Let's say she's 28. You know, nice, attractive girl. She had the most immaculate makeup on her eyes. Like, I'm thinking Drew Carey, you know, that chick on Drew Carey that just had a ton of makeup on. I mean, this girl's eyes look like that. It was not clown makeup, but it was a ton of makeup, like multiple colors and layers and outlines and eyebrows and eyelashes and, you know, lines and colors and this just incredible makeup, right? And I'm doing her exam. And she's in pretty good shape. You know, she had some inflammation. She had, you know, a little bit of gum disease. She had a few cavities, not too many and not too big, but she had a few. And so, you know, when I get done with her exam, you know, and she understands that she's got some disease going on, she goes, yeah. She goes, I don't brush every day. And I go, what? I go, why don't you brush every day? And she goes, you know, I don't think about it. I don't have time. And I said, hey, I said, did you do your eye makeup? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, for one thing, I said, it looks beautiful. Like, you really did a good job on your eye makeup. And she goes, oh, well, thank you. And I go, yeah, it takes way less time to brush your frickin' teeth than it does to put that eye makeup on. Like, come on, man. You're not saving your eyes by putting eye makeup on, but you would be saving your teeth by brushing your teeth. So let's do it. So I don't have to see you again. That's not true. But I do kind of mean that in a good healthcare kind of way. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to be seeing you for I don't know how many appointments. We're booked out for 7 months. So by the time you get back, your cavity is going to be bigger. You know, your gums are going to be more, you know, inflamed. And, you know, things are going to get worse. You got to take some time to brush your teeth, for crying out loud. You know, it's a nice looking girl, too. Like, I'm thinking, man. Anyway. Yeah, the perfect patient. I'm not the perfect patient either, I can tell you that. You know, I'm trying to take care of myself as best I can. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But still, you know, I'm not perfect by any means. Still having a peanut butter cup every now and then. Not supposed to be doing peanut butter. You imagine that? You imagine how much your life's going to suck when you can't have that one thing that you love? I love peanut butter, but it's not the one thing. Yeah, and chips. Exactly, man. I got a bag of Doritos right here in the man cave in the studio, right in that cabinet, right above my fermented veggies, because I want a handful of, hey, dark chocolate's okay. It's actually okay. You know, it's got those what's the thing in dark chocolate and blueberries? Antioxidants. Dark chocolate, which I actually have a dark chocolate bar over there, 80% dark chocolate, because of the antioxidants, and I dig chocolate, so I got to have that once in a while. Dang it, what was I saying? Oh yeah, being a good patient, not being a good patient. Oh, let's move on, because the next thing is kind of long, and we got 15 minutes. This hour is cruising. See, I'm telling you, I just do this to have fun. And today I'm just having fun. I don't even have one single link to put in to have you go check out. I mean, I'm just rattling today because of stuff that I've heard lately. So the big banks failed, right? SVB or Silicon Valley Bank, SVB. You know, and I've heard some. I've avoided the story completely, like 100% have not looked into anything. I've heard some comments now and then on other shows I listen to. And I guess the biggest thing I come away with is, okay, why do we have FDIC if we're just going to insure banks that are going to fail? And, I mean, don't you think, I don't know, maybe this is crass, I'm just saying, If you have a bank that's not doing the right thing and it fails and everybody who put money in that bank is doing the same stupid stuff, they should fail. You should allow them to fail. It's a chance for them to learn to do the right stuff. But no, all they're going to learn is, hey, we can just do whatever stupid crap we want to do with other people's money, and it's not going to matter because the federal government's going to come along. And you know, and why does it make sense that this administration would support SVB, who's a totally woke bank, who has all kinds of money in it that's used for startups and kind of venture capital to get weird ass, you know, things going that may or may not work. But if it doesn't work, those people have to pay the price. Let them lose their millions and billions of dollars. The rest of us are only covered for 250 grand. And if you think it's smart to put your money in a bank today, I'm telling you, that bank isn't doing anything with your money that you couldn't do better yourself today. And even if you stuff it between your mattresses or bury it in hermetically sealed containers on your property, it is better off in your hands than anybody else's hands. That way they also can't take it away from you, or they can't restrict your access to your funds because you say something like, well, I don't believe in your stupid gender identity. I don't see you as some fantasy that you've created in your own mind. I see you as a flesh and blood human being standing in front of me or sitting in front of me. And I don't care what that other imaginary thing is you have in your mind. It's not mine. And you can't make it mine. No matter how hard you try, and no matter how much restriction you put on what you think is my financial stability, it's not going to make me believe your mental illness. Oh, I'm not even going to, always so much stuff to talk about. Okay, so I'm going to go through just a little bit of a scenario with you, because even though this is kind of Oregon-centric, I think a lot of states are starting to follow Oregon. You know, a lot of these liberal progressive states have the same ideas and, you know, they're the same goals. Which is incredible to me that you see failure after failure after failure and they just keep piling it on. So here's what's going on in Oregon. So this is my next unicorn, is Oregon solving the homeless crisis by increasing services to the homeless. Does this make sense to you? So what we're going to do, because we have so many homeless here in Oregon, well, we're going to increase services to those homeless. We're going to give them some mini homes or some living pods in certain selected lots. And we're going to have healthcare workers available, and we're going to have mental health workers available, and we're going to have trash pickup available, and we're going to have toilets available, and showers available, and probably veterinary care available, and probably drug clean needles and paraphernalia available. That's how Oregon handles the homeless crisis. They're doing all of that while they're restricting the landlord's ability to increase rent or to boot losers out of their homes so they can rent to people who can afford them. No kidding. We have laws that say you can't raise the rent. It doesn't matter if your cost goes up as a landlord, too bad. You can't get it from these renters and you can't kick them out. Who would be a landlord in this state? Honest to God, I would not. Absolutely no chance in hell of me buying a property to rent. Because one bad renter, man, and you're cooked. You're paying for that place yourself. You're paying extra expenses yourself. You're probably paying for the repairs yourself, the maintenance yourself, and you're not getting any help because Oregon says we got to help the homeless. You know, not support businesses, which is also another one of their brilliant plans, while also ruining the ability for businesses to stay open and not be damaged by rioters or being serially shoplifted by repeat offenders because there's not enough law enforcement to respond and stop it. And no kidding, there's some businesses in Oregon. Two main chains right now. Walmart and Cracker Barrel are both leaving Portland. Like leaving. They shut their stores. Like literally, hey, we're closed. We're not coming back later. Because literally they showed videos of people going in, not to Cracker Barrel, but to Walmart, and just loading up with stuff and heading out because they don't have the employees who are physically have the physical ability to actually tackle shoplifters and hold them until the police come. And the police aren't coming because it's not a serious crime enough in Portland for cops to show up because the police department, of course, has been defund the police. There's no support for the police, so there's no police, especially for shoplifting. So people are just literally going in the store, grabbing whatever they want and walking out because they know they're not going to get stopped. If they're stopped, they're not going to be arrested. If they're arrested, they're not going to be prosecuted. And if they're prosecuted, I don't know, because they haven't been for years, haven't been prosecuted. Man, why would you keep a business open in that environment? And these guys are smart enough to say they're not. They're out of here. So now you're going to have more homeless people, right? Because here's, I don't know how many hundreds of jobs Cracker Barrel and Walmart have provided in this great city. It's not. It's a scumbag, stinky piece of crap city. The most disgusting, I guess, San Francisco and Portland are having, you know, a battle to see who can have the most crap on the streets. And I mean literally human feces and pee in the streets. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but Rochelle and I went to a dental meeting in San Francisco about 5, 6, 7 years ago at a really nice hotel because that's the venue. That was the venue. We stayed in this really nice hotel. It was gorgeous. But you walk outside, there's literally human crap on the street, bums pissing right there on this, right next to this beautiful hotel. And even the hotel, you know, the valets and stuff, they're not doing anything about it. It's not our job. Disgusting. So, where do we go from here? Oh, and of course, Oregon decriminalized illegal drugs for drug users, not so much for entitled white guys like me. Like, if I was caught with so much, you know, whatever kind of drug in my possession, oh, I'd be going to jail just because. But, you know, drug addicts now and drug users in this great state, yeah, they're not busted for pretty much any amount. I mean, yeah, if you have a ridiculous excess amount of illegal drugs, yeah, they're gonna bust you. But basically, if you can carry it, they consider it like personal use, and you're not getting busted for it. It's like $100 fine, which can be waived if you call this number to say that you're gonna go to some kind of counseling. But you don't actually have to go to the counseling. And so far, I don't even think you have to call the number or pay the $100 because nobody's enforcing anything. Now, let me ask you something. Does this sound like the perfect plan for fixing homelessness? It's not. I think there's a homeless people network across the United States with people who are saying, hey, you know what? I hear Oregon's got all kinds of services for homeless people, and you can, like, do all the drugs there you want, you know, and they're putting these pods up for homeless people, and they're going to provide medical care, mental health counseling, you know, drug paraphernalia, showers, toilets, trash pickup, and yeah, they're not going to charge us anything. I think we ought to go to Oregon. That's the way you fix homelessness in Oregon. Ted Wheeler and Tina Kotek. Geniuses. Hey, but it could be coming to a state near you. I'm just saying. Get ready, man. It's the most ridiculous politics I've ever seen. And I hear more and more companies, like, there's, so listen to how bad this is. There is so much empty office space in Portland that they're literally thinking about turning it into homeless shelters. Oh, my God, man. I wanted to get to this, the last thing on my list. I'm just going to tell you this. We have 2 minutes left. Oh, we have like a minute left. I'll cover it in a minute. Okay, the climate scientists got together in the last week. Now, as soon as I heard that the climate scientists were going to get together, I knew what they were going to say. They were going to say that the world is ending and we need to do something to stop it immediately because we're all going to die. Okay, so I was expecting that. What I didn't expect was this comment I heard one of these guys say, and I was thinking to myself, okay, how could you literally say that out loud and the entire world doesn't react to it? This is what he said. It's not an exact quote, but it's close. He said, we have seen in the last, let's say, 5 years, the most dramatic increase in temperature the Earth has seen in the last 2,000 years. So, of course, I'm thinking to myself, 15 seconds, I got to make it quick. I'm thinking to myself, okay, like, how come the human population didn't, you know, go extinct 2,000 years ago? And what were we doing 2,000 years ago to raise temperature that much? Thanks for joining me. See you soon.